Well, good morning. Thanks for getting out of bed this morning. I know it's late in the week and everybody's getting tired and it's hard to get out of bed. So I appreciate you being here this morning and hope you had a good night, good night's sleep and had a good evening. It's a great service last night. Just grateful for a good message and to see people come to the Lord and just surrender themselves to them. And it's an amazing thing to be part of this. It really is. Let's start with a word of prayer, shall we? Dear Lord, we thank you for this day and thank you, God, for your presence on this campus. Lord, we just thank you for being with us, for helping us, for being close to us, to you know us well and you love us anyway. And Lord, we're just so grateful for your grace and your patience that you have with us. I'm grateful for the patience you have with me. I thank you, God, for your presence in my life and thank you, God, that you are with each one of us. I pray, Lord, you be with us in our lesson today, that you help me have the words to say, and Lord, just that you would just be glorified in all that we do. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right, when I was a little boy, I'll age myself here a little bit, but my hero was Superman. Just this brand new cartoon came out, Superman. And Superman was my hero, and we lived out in the country, on Holler Road, and we had a big shed in the back. It was big to me. I was just 5-6 years old. It was a big shed to me, but it probably wasn't that high. A big shed with those metal roofs on it. And one day I decided I was going to be Superman. So I climbed up on the roof, got a couple buckets together, and climbed up on the roof and worked my way up that metal roof up to the top. Turned around, lay down on my belly, and took off. Flew off the end, did a flip, landed on my back, laid there for about 20 minutes wondering what in the world happened. And I realized I wasn't going to be Superman. Then a few years passed, and I remember sitting in my mom and dad's bedroom watching this little black and white TV, a grainy picture of a man walking on the moon for the first time. I saw that picture and I saw his foot come down on that moon and I just, I'm going to be an astronaut, I said out loud. My dad says, well, you got to go to college, you got to know astronomy, you got to know physics, you got to know all kinds of, I knew right then I was going to be an astronaut. I'm not going to be it. Sometimes we think we're going to do something, but we don't know what we're going to do. We think we're going to be something, but we don't know what it's going to be. And I never dreamed I'd be here when I was a kid, and I'm grateful to be here. But I just wanted to just tell you that I've never dreamed that I'd be able to do something like this. I've never dreamed that I'd be able to teach in a university. I never dreamed that I could travel the world in many ways, and I'm not bragging about anything. I'm just being honest, and just grateful for the Lord for what He's done in my life. And I know that with the difficulties that I have right now, that's just they're just temporary. That someday, Lord, everything's going to be okay. When the Lord makes it right, whether it's here on the earth or whether I get to heaven. It's all going to be fine. So I just want to thank you for your prayers and for your help and your graciousness as we get through this lesson. And I appreciate each one of you. All right, we're in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 32 today. If you'll take your Bibles, we'll read it together. Therefore, with the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, but they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But that isn't what we learned about Christ. Since you've heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth. We were all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Amen. Again, he starts with therefore. He is constantly building on what he has said in the past, the first three chapters especially, but then, especially in this situation, talking about what we just talked about yesterday, the unity in Christ, that in Christ we are grounded in his love, that we're born to be in Christ, to be grown into his love, not just experience it, but to grow into his love each and every day, and to become filled with his Spirit. He tells us that there is a life that is to be lived, that's important for us to understand that our life is needs to be worthy of the calling of Jesus Christ. And so, here we go. We're not working. There we go. So we get into this passage of scripture, we're looking at the living lights for Christ, that we are to live as lights in the world around us. In other words, live what we say. That we are to live consistently with who we say that we are, that we should be the same wherever we are. It's always been my goal since I became a believer to be the same person wherever I am. That if I'm at home or if I'm here, you know, it's the same person. That I'm just me. And I'm the best me I can be in Jesus Christ, and that's all I can be. And so God calls us to just be the person that we've been created to be and to love him with all of our hearts and love our neighbors ourselves, and that's all we can do. But live what we say, what we say we believe. He says, take off the old sinful man, and hopelessly confused. There's darkness to it. There's a sense of lostness that is part of our lives when we're not in Christ Jesus. We're always searching for something, searching for the next best thing, searching for happiness, searching for the right spouse, searching for a good job, searching for money, searching for this, searching for that, always looking for something because we're always in darkness, missing what we know something is missing in our lives, but we don't know what it is. We have this carnal nature. We've been turned into ourselves where we're considering only about what's most important for me, and yet we know there's something missing, and we're always trying to fill it with something. And if we don't fill it with the Lord, then we're going to fill it with something, whether it's pornography, or if it's drugs or alcohol, or just money or power or authority or whatever it is that we can grab hold of to try to give us some type of identity if we don't know who we are truly are in Christ. And so there's a darkness that overwhelms us when we are not in Christ. Through closed minds and hardened hearts. The word hardened is actually the Greek word is the word that is used to talk about the mending of a broken bone. You know, the callus that builds up on a bone when it's broken and it mends, it's harder than the bone itself. It's a hardening of the heart that is really from a broken heart. And it's trying to mend itself, but it just can't. And so it's become harder and harder and harder and harder until the Lord can mend it for them. So closed minds, that's a picture that we have of a lot of folks, we're quite capable of being closed-minded also as believers. to not let other people have their own opinions, or to allow people to think differently than we do. We can believe that other people are wrong about everything, believe that I'm right about everything. I know a number of believers who have acted that way in my life, but good people. But they were absolutely sure of their rightness, and everybody else was wrong. And so we can be closed-minded when it comes to the idea that perhaps we don't know everything, that there is a God and we are not that God. And so put that off. There's no shame in the old sinful man. There's lustful pleasures and every type of impurity, licentiousness. And licentiousness really is that capacity to sin and not care, is what it is. It's to sin and not care what the world thinks, what anybody thinks. That I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and I'm going to say what I want to say, and I'm going to go where I want to go, I'm going to do whatever I feel like I want to do, and I don't care what you think. I don't care. That's what licentiousness is all about. And so put that away. Put it away put away our lustful pleasures, our lust for desire and for power and for anything that we lust after. Sometimes we lust after God, and we put our search for God above actually seeing God himself, but we almost worship our own quest for God. We think about how greatly we search and we pray. I'm such a praying person. I pray every day. I want God's will. About me, about my desire to know God in a special way, that we miss the point that God calls us to just be His. And so we have to be careful about what we're lusting after. So therefore, no longer, man's walk is futility of mind and spirit. There's a futility in all of it. Fundamentally, ignorance and lack of understanding of man is a heart problem. When we are ignorant, the base meaning of ignorance is to be ignorant, to ignore. To ignore is what ignorance is, to ignore the truth. To ignore the truth that is obvious around us, ignore the truth that there is a God, to ignore the truth that we're not always right about everything. To ignore these things makes us ignorant. It's not always that we don't know, it's that we choose not to know. We choose not to know. And that is an ignorant mindset. The futility of the mind and spirit is basically a lack of understanding, is a heart problem. It's a decision that we make that I'm going to go my own way, and I'm not going to understand the truth as it's supposed to be understood. And so that's an issue that we have to deal with every day, is I'm not going to demand my own way. I'm going to give everything to the Lord. Jesus says we should take up our cross daily, yes, and follow him. Daily we need to surrender. Daily we need to die to ourselves. Daily we need to surrender our desires and our willingness to be willing to do whatever God calls us to do. Again, licentiousness, sinners often try to hide their sin, but sinners could really care less how shocking their behavior is. You know, they can say whatever they want. They can destroy people's lives. They can call people names. They can do all kinds of things, and they really don't care what anybody thinks. And that's just a bad way to live, and a bad example for anybody to see. So the old man to the new man, sin is not what we learned about Christ. We have a condition that is sin, and in Christ we have been saved. And being saved, that means we are now changed. We know Jesus. We know Jesus, but that's not just enough. We should learn about Jesus. Gotta get my words right here. But we shouldn't not just try to know about Jesus. We should know Jesus personally. We need to grow into Jesus. Study is great, but knowing is best. But yet, our minds are important. Our minds are important. That what we think is important. And so when we can't separate our minds from our souls, we can't separate our minds from our salvation. It is a heart problem, but it's also a matter of the mind also. And sometimes we need to put on the new man before we feel it. The heart can be confusing sometimes. Sometimes we don't feel like God is close. Sometimes we don't feel like God cares. Sometimes we don't feel like God is really with me. And the fact is that when we walk in Him, we can trust Him even though we don't feel it. Even though we don't feel it. And so we know Jesus, not just learning. To know Jesus Christ, we must live with Him. That's the key. Every day of every moment, practice the presence of Jesus. We talked about this a few days ago. Brother Lawrence and his work in the monastery and doing dishes all day long and wondering how in the world he was going to survive this test that he was going through in the monastery. He was washing dishes morning, day, and night and not being able to participate in all the activities of the monastery because that was his job, was to wash dishes. And he came to the place where he realized he needed to be in the presence of Jesus all the time. And he had to need to see that Jesus was with him even as he was washing dishes. He began to understand and see Jesus with red hands just like his as they were washing dishes together. They were able to have communication and talk with each other all the time. The prayerful living is not, you know, walking in prayer every day is not walking around with their heads bowed and saying words out loud. It's a mentality. It's an attitude that Christ, you are with me. You are with me all the time. And I can think in my mind, Lord, help me. Or Lord, give me an understanding of what I should do. What's the right thing to do right now? Should I go speak to this person or not? Oh, I need to go speak to this person. Okay. But be in that communication with the Lord all the time is the key to living with Him on a regular basis. Verse 21, since you have learned the truth, you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. It's in Christ Jesus there is truth. We cannot walk a truth that is not in Christ Jesus. There is no truth that is not in Christ Jesus. That all truth comes through Christ Jesus. If we're walking in another truth, if we're walking in a belief system that does not put Jesus first, then we're walking in falsehood. That's all there is to it. There might be some truth mixed in it. There might be some, like we talked about yesterday, or in several days, I think, we talk about that what you hear on the TV, the truth is somewhere in the middle. It's not always, there's untruth that's often blended with truth sometimes. And it gets blended together in a way that is unhealthy. And so we have to be aware of that. But if we walk in truth, we walk in Christ Jesus, then we have that truth that is taught by Christ Himself when He is in us and through us. And we're to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Again, the mind is important. The mind is important. That we're called to be renewed in our mind and our spirit every day. That we're constantly growing in our faith. We're constantly growing in understanding of who God is. We're constantly growing in our understanding of each other, of who each other are, how we see people, how we understand life, how we understand the world around us, how we view life. As we mature, we tend to see things differently, do we not? I mean, most of us have matured a little more than others. But we tend to see the world differently. Because we have learned and our minds have been renewed through different things. The Spirit helps us see things in a different way as we grow in Him. And so renewing the mind is so very important for us. And that means we need to minister to the mind. Be willing to feed it. Be able to read the Scripture. But not only just read Scripture. I encourage you to get a good some good commentaries and help you with the Scripture. Get some good Bible dictionaries to look words up. I mean, it's good to nourish your minds about biblical truth, about what is going on in Scripture. Nourish your mind by listening to the good podcasts that deal with spiritual issues. Read good books, that are uplifting, but also teach you something about spirituality and about Christianity and faith in Jesus Christ. Use your mind. I've never more in my life realized how important your mind is as I have in the past couple of years. Use it. Use it while you got it. And it's a blessing from the Lord. He has blessed us with a mind, and he tells us to use it. You know, John Wesley's view of interpreting scripture and theology really comes from this quadrilateral. You probably have heard that before. Some of you have probably heard that before, but it's called the Wesleyan quadrilateral. He never called it that. But scripture is the foundation of this quadrilateral. It's the foundation. But when we interpret it, we need to use both tradition of what our fathers have told us, taught us about it, but also our reason. We need to use our mind as we read scripture. We're supposed to think. We're supposed to process. We're supposed to own it and bring it into our own minds and process it and let it mold us in everything that we are. Our reason needs to be part of our understanding of scripture. So training our mind to be able to read scripture is important. To read the scripture for all it's worth is important. To be able to rightly divide the word of truth. I know preachers are supposed to do that, but so are all of us. Be able to read scripture and understand it in a way that is helpful for ourselves and for others. So renew your mind through actually using it as you read scripture and as you study the word. Verse 22, throw off the old self, the sinful nature, corrupted and deceived. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit. We can't just throw off the old self. It's part of who we are. It's ingrained in us. As we talked about a few days ago, when Adam and Eve sinned, before they sinned, they were in tune with God. They walked with God in the cool of the day. Their vision was outward. It was always outward towards creation and everything else. But when they chose to take the fruit, they chose to want to be like God himself, their motivation and their vision moved inward. They became very self-centered. I want to be like God. I want to have the knowledge of good and evil. I want to. And that has been part of our lives, all of us, ever since. The sinful nature within us is that corrupted nature inside of us is selfish. That's the issue. I want what I want. And I become God of my own life in many ways. And with that, then we're worshiping the devil. Because that's exactly what he wants us to do, is not worship God, but worship ourselves. Devil doesn't want our worship, he wants our souls. It's true. If he can get us to worship ourselves, that's fine with him. Because he wants our souls. And so we need to be aware of that. So throwing off the old self, it's corrupted and deceived, and it's deception, is the work of the Holy Spirit. It's only the Holy Spirit, by surrendering to the Holy Spirit, that our inner self can be restructured, that we can again look outward of ourselves. We can see the world the way Jesus sees it, that we can see God and all that he is, that we can understand that there's a world that's greater than anything I ever could imagine, that no matter what I see in this world, how bad it is, God is greater. And you do amazing things. I don't have to walk around shaking my head and worrying to death and again, I keep saying it, but I've gotten the habit of just turning on the news and just type of thing, you know. I don't have to live that way because I know that God is greater. My vision is outward. It's not inward. It's not what's going to happen to me, what's going to happen to my kids, what's going to happen to my country, what's going to happen to my. It's about what's God doing. What's God going to do in my country? What's God going to do in my family? What's God going to do in my life? And what is most important in God's eyes instead of what I think is most important is the key. So putting off the old nature is important. It's important to die to self, to have the Holy Spirit say to us, trust me. Throughout my life, as I've gone step by step by step by step, I have not been the one that says, yes, Lord, send me. Each step of the way I have fought. Every step of the way I have fought. And Lord has taught me through those three simple words He would tell me, do you trust me? Trust me. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? Those four, those simple words. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? Do you trust me? And as years have gone by, I've come a little faster to say yes, but I still struggle sometimes with not doing what the right thing, but doing what God wants me to do, because I just still have this sense of unworthiness of doing it. And so I say, you know, I can't do this. And the Lord says, do you trust me? And when I do trust him, it turns out okay. It turns out okay. I do the best I can, and that's all I can do. So the Lord is good in that way. So the Spirit moves in our hearts and our minds, and it's a constant renewing of our souls, a constant renewing, a constant growth. Once we're sanctified, it doesn't mean we're done. We're still growing every day. We're going closer and closer to the Lord every day. Become more and more Christ-like every day. It's not a one-and-done thing. It's a lifelong growth in him. Just after we're sanctified, we can grow a little faster. You know, when you get saved, there's a lot of this, right? There's a lot of the mountaintops and then the valleys, the mountaintops and valleys and mountaintops and valleys and mountaintops and valleys. You get sanctified, it's still a little bit like this, but you're moving up. You're getting closer and closer and closer and closer and closer, because I'm out of the way. I'm out of the way. I'm still human. I still have my moments. I still have my issues, but God is God. And if I trust him with all my heart, he's going to get me through those moments and get me moving on further up the road. And so it's important for us to understand that the importance of holiness, of being sanctified holy. So again, verse 23, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes, put off the old and put on the new. And we just talked about that a little bit. Put on the new nature, created to be like God. We were created in the image of God, yes? That, I mean, if I'm right about Genesis 1, I think I've read that a few times and taught it a few times. It says, let us make man in our own image, right? We're created in God's image. When we become sanctified, that image is renewed. It's renewed. We can actually have that relationship with God. We can't go back to the innocence of Adam and Eve. We can't go back there. But we can go back and have that relationship with God where we can walk with him in the cool of the day. We can walk with him and trust him. That we can be with him all the time. And it's a beautiful thing. So we put on the old self, or put on the new self, and take off the old, and renew our thoughts and attitudes. Put on the new nature, again, created by God, truly righteous and holy. Do you always feel righteous and holy? It isn't about feeling, is it? There are days I don't feel too holy or too righteous. Yet if I trust the Lord with all my heart and soul and mind and strength, and if I love the Lord my God and trust him and believe in him and know that the Spirit is in me, then it's okay. I'm going to get through it. I'm going to get through it. We are righteous and holy in him, not through our own work, not through our own desires, not through our own efforts. We're truly righteous and holy through him and him alone. So if we have the Spirit, we're okay. Created according to the image of Jesus Christ and live righteous and holy lives is a precious, precious gift that God gives us, a precious gift that never stops giving. Then 25 through 32, conduct of the new nature of man. Tell the truth and no lies. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. And for us, we could say, well, that's not hard. I don't lie. But sometimes we can deceive ourselves. And we can think things that, we might be tempted to stretch things a little bit or to whatever. Evidently, the Ephesians had problems with lying. It must have been part of their culture to be liars, and he's dealing with them specifically. But we have to be aware of that too, to tell the truth. Just be honest. Just be honest. And it's hard sometimes to do that, to share what is really the truth about ourselves. Don't allow anger to control you. Don't let the sun go down. This is a quote from Psalm 4:4. It is a beautiful thing to think about not allowing anger to control us. We see a lot of anger and rage in our world today, in our nation today. We see a lot of people who would rather break something than heal something. We see a lot of people screaming and hollering and ranting and raving, and we see a lot of people who are afraid because of all this anger and rage. And so don't let it control you. Don't let it control you. Put it aside. Deal with it. Now, it doesn't say don't be angry. It says don't hold on to it, anger. As humans, we're going to get angry sometimes. As humans, we're mad. We get mad sometimes. Sometimes we have right to be angry. Jesus had a right to be angry when with the sellers in the temple. He had a right to do that. But he did not. He took care of his business, and it didn't control him. And it doesn't control us if we don't let it control us. Anger is a foothold of the devil if we hold on to it. If you go to bed angry and you wake up angry, you're going to be angry the rest of your life. I mean, it's just the way it is. It becomes part of who you are. You get none of you know my mother-in-law. That's a good, no, I'm not, I was going to say that. I'm just teasing. But she, and she knows it, but she had a bad marriage, and it was very abusive, and she still carries anger about that in her life, and it's been almost 50 years since it ended, and she still carries that anger in her life, and she has a lot of misery in her life. She has a lot of bitterness in her life. I believe she loves the Lord. I believe she's in Christ Jesus, but she doesn't understand forgiveness. And she holds on to that rage. And I pray, God, that every day that she would find peace. Find peace. I'd ask you to pray for her also, if you would. Pray for her. But don't steal, but do good work. That what's easy to take what people give us, to do the easy way, to take the easy way out, to do the least amount that we possibly can. As a teacher, I've seen students, first question out of their mouth after they get a syllabus is, well, okay, well, what exactly do I have to do to get an A? Worse than that, what do I really have to do to pass this class? You know, what's the minimum I have to do to get this done? And the Lord says, do your best. In fact, that word to labor is the word that is used here. And that word means to work to exhaustion. To give yourself completely to something. To do it for the Lord, as if you're doing it for the Lord. To search out what we can do to work for the good. Not just work for work, but work for the good of the employer, of the employees around us. To work for those that we're trying to help around the house. To work with those in the neighborhood. To work with those in the church. It's work. Work in a way that uses us up. You know, just uses us up. I want to be exhausted when I go to bed. And that happens quite often. And I'm not bragging about that. I'm old. I get tired easy. But I don't want to die with gas in the tank. And I mean that sincerely. I want to give it all. I want to do it all, whatever God wants me to do. And I'm not saying that proudly. I'm just saying that this is what we're called to do, is work. And when we do work, do good work. And we do good work, be generous. Be generous. That's financially and with our time and with our lives and with our understanding and with the other people. And be generous with our love and our grace and the mercy that God has shown us. Be generous. Be generous with what God gives you as you work. No foul or abusive language. Say what is good and helpful, encouraging others. It's important to understand that language is important. What we say has a lot to do with how we live. And so, again, it seems like everything leads together to how do we treat other people? How do we understand the world around us? How do we understand those who are different than us? How do we understand the foreigner? How do we understand the lost? How do we understand the poor? How do we understand these other people out there? How do we see them? Do we see them with the eyes of Jesus? Do we see them as people who are in the way? What do we do with these people? What do we do with those, with these issues that are hard for us to deal with? What do we do with these things? And sometimes we get so caught up in these things, we get abusive without even thinking about it. We say things about people that are just hurtful, even if they're not there. We just talk about them as if they're garbage, or talk about like they're animals. Sometimes I've heard people talk about people that they're just animals. They're not real human beings. And the fact is, every human being is created in the image of God, no matter where they come from or no matter what they look like. And abusive language about other people is harmful. Whether they hear it or not, it's harmful for ourselves, it's harmful for those around us. And so put it aside. Put that abusive language aside. Don't use foul language. I don't think we need to worry about that in this room. But you know, it's easy. It's easy to get caught up in what the world is doing out there. It's easy to get so frustrated that we think things that we shouldn't think. It's easy to get so bent out of shape, if you will, that we're willing to just do something we shouldn't do. And we just got to be aware of those things. We got to be watch what we're doing, watch what we're seeing, what we're watching, what we're talking, what we're hearing. We need to be careful. So very careful. Say what is good and helpful. Say what is right and just. Speak the truth. And the truth is Scripture. The truth is God's Word. The truth is God's love for everybody. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten. He loved the whole world. That we talked about missions. We talked about loving people in other countries. And yet we struggle so much in our country with loving people who are different than us here. And the fact is, I when I went to Kenya, I didn't know what to expect. I was going to be a minority. There's about 4 white people on this campus of 2,000 people. And I worked with many Africans, and I taught all African students. And it was, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know how they would receive us. And it was with open arms. They loved us like we were a family. They showed me what true love is, what true understanding is, what true grace is, when it comes to differences of race and ethnicity. And I pray that God will help us with that too, as a nation, but as also as a people group, as holiness people. And encouraging others. Encouraging others is important. And many of you have encouraged me this week. I appreciate your kind words. I appreciate your prayers and your grace that you've shown me. And in all of it, God is with us. And when we encourage others, you're speaking for the Lord. For the Lord brings grace, and God gives grace, and grace works through us. His presence can be seen through us. And so I pray that God helps us all, and that be the will of your life, that you be fully in His and filled with the Holy Spirit, and that we would live a life that shows and reflects the love of Jesus for all people. Amen. So do not bring sorrow to the Holy Spirit. We are His own. The Spirit deposit on our spirit, excuse me, deposit on our salvation in the end is the Holy Spirit. We can grieve the Holy Spirit in many ways. And I think I have a quote here in just a minute, but if not, I'll tell you what it is. But get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, slander, harsh words, and all evil behavior. Bitterness, that anger that is never dealt with becomes bitterness. I've known several people that just were bitter their whole lives, and they aged quickly, and they died young because they were so bitter. Rage, anger, slander, harsh words, and all evil behavior, get rid of it. Just get rid of it. There's an action that takes place. We come to know the Lord and we get sanctified and the Holy Spirit is in us. We still have to act. We have habits. We have different things we have to deal with. There are things we have to take care of. So we need to get rid of it. It's as simple as that. And do kindness to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Jesus Christ has forgiven you. It's important to be tender-hearted and kindness with kindness. Be gentle. Gentleness and kindness is a four-letter word sometimes in our world today. That if you're meek, you're weak, and that's a sad thing. Meekness is actually gentle strength. Is confident strength. I don't have to be right about everything. I don't have to be the first of everything. I don't have to be the one to be in charge of everything. I don't have to be the one that sits in the chair. I don't have to be the one that isn't first in the potluck line. I don't have to. That God is good. That God is great. Tenderheartedness is important. Forgiving one another is important. So the devil's work is to accuse and divide the family of God. And this is a quote from David Guzik, who is a great scholar and a pastor. He says, there are many ways to grieve the Holy Spirit. We can neglect holiness and grieve the Holy Spirit. We can think in purely materialistic terms and grieve the Holy Spirit. The Spirit exalts Jesus in John 15:26. When we fail to do the same, we grieve the Holy Spirit. There's many things that can grieve the Holy Spirit. It's not just walking away. There's many ways we can grieve the Holy Spirit. And grieving does not mean he is done with us. It means he hurts for us. He cries for us. He mourns for us. He wants us to come back to him in a way that is hopeful and peaceful and good. And that's what God wants for us. And so, let's put on the new self, shall we? Okay? Let's put on the new self and make it new and fresh every day. Okay? All right. Any thoughts or questions? Yes, sir.
Verse 21 mm-hmm. talks about the new self created by God in righteousness and holiness.
Yes.
And I wonder if you would comment a little bit more on that word holiness.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Well, it comes to the word hagios is the English word holy, and holiness is being set apart, in God. But holiness in the sense of being sanctified is becoming one with the Lord. It's oneness and wholeness. It's completeness. It's actually a good Hebrew word that goes with this is shalom. It is being at peace with the Lord, being one with the Lord. And living in holiness is a way of life that is at peace with the world around us, even though it might not be the world that we want. It's being at peace with the Lord and being trusting Him with all of our hearts, mind, soul, and strength, and knowing that this life is the only life that I have and it belongs to Him and not me. Holiness has a lot of meanings behind it, but the practical meaning is it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of trusting the Lord every day. Every moment, and knowing that He is in control and not me, and letting that control go. And sometimes it takes every day to do that. I remember the day I gave my life to the Lord completely, the day I accepted my call to ministry, I surrendered my will, and I've had to surrender it every day. The Lord, you take it all. Take it all. Take it all. Take it all. So I just want to be whole and complete, and I want to be the person God created me to be in Him. So, whoops, 5-minute warning. But I don't know if that was a good enough explanation or not, but that's the way I put it. That's the way I look at it. Yeah. Anyone else? All right, well, let's pray. Dear Lord, again, we thank you for this day and thank you for your word. We thank you for the Apostle Paul, dear Lord. We're grateful that he lived the life that he did, that he shows us what it means to do the wrong thing and then do amazing things afterwards. And I thank you, God, that you blessed him and gifted him and you inspired him to write these words. And I thank you, God, that you called people like the Ephesians. A lot of them are just like us, that they're just human beings just like us. You speak to them, you speak to us through the same words. So Lord, we praise you for your word, for your active and living word that speaks to us every day. So Lord, go with us from this place. Bless the service to come. We give you this day, and may you be blessed by all of it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.